meeting will now come to order. All rise to the flag, salute, please.
Salute.
Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. Thank you all for coming. May we have a roll call for attendance, please?
Mr. Blair?
Here.
Mr. Simon?
Here.
Mr. Mendoza?
Here.
Fairbanks? Mr. Small?
Here. First item on the agenda tonight is the approval of minutes. It's due from the regular meeting of November 1, 1995. If you have a chance to take a look at those, or I'll entertain a motion that we approve the minutes.
So moved.
I have a motion by Director Simon. Do I have a second? And a second by Director Mendoza. All directors in favor of approving the minutes say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody is opposed. Director Fairbanks is currently absent. Item number three is under Board Administration. That's the Water and Sewer System Master Plan. Mr. Jones?
Did you go through public comments?
Oh, excuse moi. Skip right over item two. Excuse me. Public comment period. That's for anything that's not on the agenda. If you'd like to speak to something that's not agendized tonight, now's the time to do it. You ask the board a general question if you like. No public comments? Okay, now let's move on to item three. Excuse me. The Water and Sewer System Master Plan, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Mr. President, the district has contracted with the Boyle Engineering Corporation to do the district Water and Sewer Master Plan. Basically, they've reviewed all the documentation that the district has, put together a computer program of the distribution system and the sewer collector system. And from this computer program, they've looked at the systems and developed where some inefficiencies have developed or could be developed to improve the system, and have completed a couple of maps which are up on the board. And Christine Ferrara is here from Boyle Engineering, and she will go ahead and make a presentation on this work.
Okay.
Wastewater treatment plants are to increase from approximately 315,000 gallons per day up to 1.13 million gallons per day.
I think you yourselves realize the pace of increasing development here and the need for planning out the infrastructure. But I wanted to point out the service areas that pertain to what was included in the master plan. And first, for the sewer, this boundary delineates the limit, the planning limit for sewering service areas, whereas the water is projected to extend. We're dealing with different boundaries, if you will, for water and sewer plans. I wanted to touch on what we found with regard to the ability of systems to meet those, both existing and future demands. Water system we found, and I'll go kind of by supply, storage, and then the distribution itself. On the side of the water system to meet existing customer needs, we find that there's a need for approximately another 540 gallons per minute well to safely meet the needs, the maximum daily demand, the hot summertime demand throughout the system. We also have a recommendation in here that some of the lower efficiency pumps and motors that are existing wells be replaced, and that you will find savings in energy costs over time associated with that particular recommendation. We see a need for approximately 1 million gallons additional storage to reliably meet particularly fire flow requirements throughout the service area. We recommend for reliability's sake two additional Nipomo Creek crossings such that you don't have all eggs or all water coming through one line from both sides of the creek. We also recommend that a parallel inlet outlet line be constructed up to the twin tanks in order to get more distribution and to decrease how much head is being burnt, particularly under high demand situations. And there are additional distribution system improvements that are recommended. And these are illustrated on this map here. It's difficult to see from the scale, but they're flagged. The recommended improvements to meet existing demands are illustrated, as well as proposed future recommendations. All in all, we estimate that the capital cost associated with improvements needed to meet existing needs on the water side is approximately $3.6 million. I'll emphasize that a good portion of that could be supported by developers as projects turn into development. To meet future demands on the water side, we see a need for an additional 1,400 gallons per minute additional supply to meet maximum projected demand. We've laid out a plan for tying in the Black Lake system to the main water distribution system, and ultimately needing over 2.5 million additional above-grade storage to reliably meet fire demand in particular. Another major improvement that we see a need for is the frontage road tenage to provide, again, some reliability and better distribution, particularly up to the summit station area. That set of projected or master plan water improvements are estimated to cost an additional $1.9 million. It's a brighter picture on the sewer side of things.
Now, that's for the master plan to build out. You're saying a population of 15,000 approximately?
Correct.
Okay, now over what time period do you expect that growth to occur?
Well, we looking
at 20 years, 15 years?
We're looking at approximately 20-year window at this time. And we looked at that in several ways. We looked at the planning guidelines, the county planning documents for the area. And we also looked back at historically how many additional service connections have you been connecting up with the basis, kind of just both of those cases. On the sewer system side, we find that the existing food collection system is very well designed to handle existing very minor deficiencies were noted in the existing food collection system. One project that we do recommend you pursue is construction of a gravity relief line that would avoid the need to continue to operate in a permanent pond lift station. That would be a benefit to the existing needs. We estimate a price tag on that project of a little over $200,000. To meet the future sewer needs, the three areas in which improvements are needed is the larger capacity on the frontage road main collector coming down to the main wastewater treatment plant. There's a proposed an additional lift station on the far side of the creek, and miscellaneous gravity collectors needed to address new developments throughout the defined future service area boundaries. Those are associated with additional $1.5 million in potential improvements. Well, one thing I want to leave you with is that we do now have computer models of the existing and the master plan systems, and I think you and the staff are going to find to be a very powerful tool at your disposal, and that you can provide with computer copies of the input files as well. The recommendations that I've touched on in here in the bottom line dollars, they've been prioritized out, so that that information is available, and I know I'll be working with Doug and getting that in a format that's useful in their upcoming rate study as well. So it's been a pleasure working on this, and I like that passing and summarizing all the data, and we're available to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. The first question is, Doug, do we have the hardware and stuff and software that's needed to read computer models?
We have all the node points here, things like that. We have to have a software to interpret it.
Okay, so currently that uses proprietary software that you need?
And this is a point that we touched on when we were first putting our proposal together. The water model itself is in what's called a KY type format.
Right.
KY type is the largest commercially available computer software program, and that has been provided in KY type format. The sewer program is in a program that's proprietary to Boyle at Coast East One. The format of the input is very standard. In fact, some places could use Excel or some spreadsheet program to analyze gravity collection. So it's in a readily readable format.
Does anyone have questions at this point? Mrs. Ferrara? The public input, questions, concerns regarding Ms. Farr's presentation? Yes, sir. Could you state your name for the record, please?
I'm a resident of the formal. My question is, all these expenses that you just, upgrade all these drinking water, is that being picked up by the developers, or is that in the tax department? Or is that just tripping the developers that are picked up?
We would have to budget for each and every one of these things that that Boyle Engineering has recommended.
In other words, it's maybe doing an engineering study here for us.
All right.
So what cost is that? I mean, that's how long it is. But it's irrelevant.
The cost for the study?
Yeah.
Well, $50,000.
$50,000.
Yeah, well over.
But, so who's going to pick up the cost for the improvements of all these different things that are needed down the road?
We haven't addressed that yet, but that's partly that may come true.
Yeah, presently we're the board on the agenda tonight is approving a contract with having a rate study and financial plan put together, and based on the master plan, this input will be given to the consultant. He's going to look at our rates and develop a financial plan of how these improvements can be put in and the funding for these improvements.
Is this going to be public information?
Yes.
Media or
I think they're one of the same. Right. The reports, when they're finished, will be public information. Just like this document is public information. And hopefully we'll have that in the spring of next year.
Any other public comments or questions?
Yeah,
Mr. Kitty.
Gene K. Conversation. You mentioned something about that water line going out to the summit to the water tank. And so you have something to fire, you have to upgrade the fire factory or something in that area. What are you going to do when the 4G is used? Do you mean as build out occurs, would they need more of the unit now?
You know, we found that in the summit station area, there are some deficiencies in meeting 1,000 gallons per minute fire flow requirements in that area. So these recommendations that are laid out here are specifically to address areas that are deficient in meeting or meet that criteria.
You say how you're going to go about upgrading that to 1,000 gallons? Mm-hmm. How would you do that?
Well, you start looking at the system and say, where's the supply coming to meet that fire flow? And then where are you moving to? The point of that supply and where the fire hydrant is.
certain segments of that line there that where they don't reach the 1,000 gallons per minute, or is it all?
It's system-wide. It all is system-wide. And one of the projects that helps the whole nine system is that parallel 12-inch line capacity. That's a field well. And then there are more local recommendations made to specific needs.
Christine, you show 553 units, resident units in Black Lake. Where do you get that figure?
It comes from the county planning department.
It's got to be way in the future because it's the build-out is 512 according to the specific plan. At the moment, they're at 385 approximately residences. So it's going to be a, if you're looking at a 20-year window, quite, that could well be right. But if you're talking current, it's an error.
Yes, it's 515, but with the TUC or something, go up to that.
515 would be approximately two years down the road.
Right. And addressing Mr. Kay's comment, right now the area is designed for 500 gallons a minute. This is the upgrade to 1,000 gallons a minute. Anticipating down the line, 20 years from now, depending what the county does and master plans, it's the area
also
developed.
Would that also increase the pressure for certain areas?
And that's anticipating, you know, if the general plan changes and they, some of the belts can split down 5 acres, right now some of 10, 20 acres.
Is this all well water of the company?
Yes, sir.
And you know, PG&E is very expensive, but when it comes to well water, I think there should be an alternative study as far as to generate these natural gas is way cheaper than electricity, I think.
Yeah, we're looking at that, except when you get the natural gas and you get into air pollution people and all kinds of other things. Not according to air pollution people.
Well, here you have natural gas, which is valuable, right?
City of Santa Maria looked at
it. It's way cheaper, you know, it's generated with natural gas than PG&E, because it's, you know, they're trying to deregulate that company. They're ripping the public off right at this moment, right? So
what?
I think that's an important factor to keep the water rate down.
Right. Well, we were looking at that and possibly doing that. City of Santa Maria looked at putting natural gas engines on some of their wells, and they found out to meet the requirements of their air pollution people would be so with the aspect that the catalytic converters, a whole bunch of things to meet the air standard from the exhaust from the engine, it was so expensive they abandoned it. Well, see, you can have two engines side by side. One with an ag user has no restrictions at all. We put ours in, and we have to meet all the clean air requirements.
Yeah.
And side by side. Well, I agree with you.
Right.
But we're looking into the natural gas.
The thing that stood out to me is that the $3.6 million to reliably serve existing customers. That's a big chunk of money. How much, if you could prioritize, you know, the three or four projects that you talk about in the beginning, the 12-inch parallel lines and the twin tanks and the sewer system improvement and a couple other things, what would you rank as first and foremost?
On page 48, she has them in priorities 1, 2, and 3 on that report. And the first priority ones is about a close to $1 million,
$900,000.
48? Yes, page 48. It's the last page before the exhibits in the back.
Okay.
And then we've asked the consultant for some time frame so we can give that to the consultant doing the rate study.
All right.
We can develop a financial plan to meet these financial requirements of the district.
Okay, very good, thank you.
This is their report. Do you concur with all of this, all of these recommendations?
Pretty much so. I mean, some of my seat of the pants engineering pretty much came up with their concepts. And they because of the computer program, they came up with some other ones that I wasn't aware of.
There's nothing that stands out as something that you have any problem with?
No. He's just implementing it in alignment on the pipes.
Where would they, it said it's new storage. Where would that go? Do you have any?
You know, we've looked at that, and as you know, you've been probably well aware for years that the potential storage sites here maintain the same hydraulic grade, the same elevation that you've got with the swing tank, you know, pretty well locked into augmenting storage up in the swing tank. And that is one of an additional driver to the parallel line, is to some redundancy in the water back and forth from now a storage system is moving around more and more.
Now, one thing we'll be looking at is putting maybe a natural gas engine on a well site in place of storage. That's an option.
Would you elaborate on that?
Well, usually you have storage for maximum demand. So if you're doing an emergency or something, you don't have the power goes out, you don't have pumping capacity, but then so you're relying on storage. And the storage may produce from your well for your tank, maybe, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 gallons a minute. If you have a well site, which is running on natural gas and not electric, some other alternate means of energy, and it's producing 1,000 gallons a minute, all of a sudden it's like another storage tank producing 1,000 gallons a minute. You can use that in place of storage. And sometimes it's more economical doing it. It depends on your production. They do that in the valley quite a bit. Of course, they have major production wells where, you know, 3,000, 4,000 gallons a minute over there.
And we've laid out in here what capacity we should seek to get that alternative power source as opposed to providing additional upgrade storage. Thinking here, so that's quantified.
Since you've
delivered the final report,
how many post-delivery of final report questions can you call me? I'll speak to Mr. Jones about that in the morning.
Okay.
Just clarification on something.
Is there any further board questions of Mrs. Ferrara before we let her go? Any other questions from the audience or comments? What about Mr. Jones and Mr. Sides? Any concerns?
No, like I said, we just asked for a time schedule of these priorities when they come about with respect to the financial plan.
Okay. Now, this is...
I'd like to ask just one quick question. You show three interties at Black Lake. Aren't there only two wells at Black Lake?
Well, yeah, the wells are one thing. The intertie is just a distribution system. The interties are not related to the number of wells. The wells pump into the distribution of Black Lake.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll tie that distribution system into the district system in three separate points.
I see. Okay. So you're not tying them in necessarily at the wellheads?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you need any formal board action as far as acceptance of the final report tonight, or is it just an information item?
I think just accepting the file.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for your presentation.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for your good work. I say we don't need a motion.
No.
Okay. So let's move on to item number four. Is Mr. Lloyd's not here, is he?
No, he isn't. I talked to him this afternoon. He had a conflict. He's going to try and get here, but indicated that he could not make it. And I told him my main concern was getting comments to the county planning department. Would like comments before the end of the month, and this matter could be carried over. We received today a request for Track 1749, a intent to serve letter, and that would be put on the next agenda. This matter can be carried over to the next agenda. I just point out that this is a project called the Fairview Track. It's 113 home sites. This is basic layout. Here's the Thompson Avenue going north, and it's the area that's known as the Hermit Annexation. In that annexation, a well site came in, which is a property of this location. The temperature of that well can increase close to maybe 200 gallons a minute. The lots are laid out in different configurations, the large ones here. You have a number of small lots in this area, around 4,500 square feet. And some of the concerns, you know, I had when they initially laid this out, it's about the third or fourth layout I've seen, is the size of the lot. And there are a number of developments, one in Santa Maria, one in Aurora Grande, that have these small lots where they had a zero setback on one side where they put the house right on one edge of the lot and they have an easement on this portion for the overhang. And so they just have one side of the lot is where you have your yard. If you put the house in the middle and have setbacks on both sides, then you have two narrow areas. And by developing it this way, you have a larger area on one side of the lot. They've done this in Aurora Grande, and it's been quite successful. It's turned out to be quite a nice little community. But see, if there's concern about, you know, the small lots and how are they going to develop, and that's what was the aspect of the setback on this aspect, one of the questions. And then one of the major things is this open space. The new county master plan says that there's a setback from ag area because of pesticides and noise and dust and everything else. And it's my understanding the developer will probably maintain ownership of the property. Anticipating that if the area ever does develop or something, then it could be broken down to additional lots or whatever. But in the meantime, the question is, who maintains it? You know, if it's in a trash dump or fire trash, you know, not being mowed.
The 4,500 square foot lots currently, that's under the
about 6,000.
So they're looking for a deviation for this one project?
Well, based on the total acreage.
Or are they submitting something like a common area ground?
Based on the total acreage, they can have up to 113 lots or something.
Right.
And the county basically is saying, okay, you can deviate from the 6,000 square foot lot in this area, because you've given off a large buffer area out here, and I think that's kind of a proposed open space or a park in this area.
The Hendricks also own the property around them?
Over here? Yeah. No, I think the Dana's over here, and Cavalletto owns it over there. They're different ownership.
Those aren't larger lots then on the outside?
Yeah, these are larger lots. These are almost 6,000 and 8,000.
No, I mean those bigger squares there, those aren't lots then?
Yeah, these are 47,000, 38,000, 38,000. And this is just one common area.
So that they can be built on then too?
Well, yeah, it looks like there's a dashed line here, which is probably a,
so they do have a building envelope in it for
they could build here, but they have a very large deck, right? I don't know how that is. So these are designed except for
so lines. What's really the common area then? That square there and that open area over there.
That's the place. I don't know. This is probably maintained as an original developer. I think they're planning for a park here. And of course the state pipeline comes down through this area.
How many acres does that map represent up there?
42
acres.
42 acres. And I understand talking to them today, they're going to develop this in certain phases. They're not going to develop the whole thing. They're probably adopt the map of the whole thing and then say, okay, they're going to develop this area first and then this area and this area.
We call that an agricultural setback, so it's going to remain in agricultural use.
Unless this property does revert back to some type of development, say that the Dana decide to develop their property, then this area here can be developed in a smaller place.
That's what I was getting at. Those bigger chunks there, they can't build houses on the street there and use that as pasture?
Yeah, well, they can build houses here, and I think the dash line is a setback. They can build here, but they can't build back here.
Oh, okay.
And they were annexed to the district when? 1990?
About 5 years ago.
92. That was for the well exchange?
Well, they brought the well in there as the water for this development.
Okay. Well, we can save up our questions. So there's no action that we can take.
Right. I can convey it to the county. Thank you. These questions here, unless the board has some additional questions.
No. Board members?
No, I have a six.
They think about 4,500 square foot lots. I don't know. I mean, I've seen some that look okay and others that look horrible. You know, from more than 100 yards away, it looks like all the roads are connected.
It's not so much the lot size as the street size. Are they standard streets?
They're neat. County code.
I understand that, but this thing that we got over here behind us, that probably met some kind of county code too, and those streets are totally, I think, too small. In other words, is this like a standard street size?
I think the minimum 40 foot, I'm not sure the setback is 7, so it's probably 60 foot for right away street, those are 42.
Because this street they have back here, you have those little parking spaces and stuff, and you get two good sized pickup trucks coming down and they can't pass.
It's probably like a 40 foot. It's probably a 60 foot right away.
Yeah. Because people have a tendency to, when they buy houses, to buy boats and jet skis and an extra car and a whole bunch of stuff. A lot of it sits out on the street. And if the street isn't wide enough to support it, then you run into all kinds of problems, especially if you have cars.
Depends on
what
the lot size.
The less stuff you can have. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. The more stuff is in front of the street.
I'll add that to
somebody had that question
on street parking.
That's the main thing. Is I hate to see anything more go like this thing that's here in the bank. I looked at that when they built it, and I couldn't see how they got that through. Because it's a very minimum road and very little parking, and you have these little parking spaces, like the common area parking spaces, which are probably never near where they're needed.
What project you coming on?
Is it straight back behind here or on the creek?
Creek.
They really
creek guy over.
Oh, sorry, I'm going the wrong way there. Okay. So I know where I'm at. Yeah, okay, that one. Right on the creek. Those roads are terrible. You can't hardly take a motorhome in there.
That's a common wall type development.
Yeah, those type of streets are too slow. And they got more than enough room in there to widen the streets out of.
Okay, other board questions, public comments, or concerns? Okay, we won't take any action on this tonight then, other than, we're going to re-agendize this for the next meeting.
Right.
One question, Doug. Where does the drainage go? There'll be more water running out of there now.
It all goes down here and across here and to a drainage area that meanders around and gets to the home creek.
Which already ends up with the home.
There's kind of a natural drainage area right
here. Yeah, there's a natural drainage area here and this way. And when it rains, there's quite a floodplain across here.
Yeah.
So when you do something like this, you try not to disturb your natural drainage that will create those kinds of floods.
That's going to increase the water flow.
It will, because you have a different runoff because of hard surfaces and roofs and things like that.
That's not a big problem?
That's something that they have to calculate and meet the requirements of the county.
That should be addressed in that little question thing, too, because the homes over there in Malaga are already flooding periodically. It runs across and down the creek and into the backyards and homes.
Which homes are those?
And mine.
Parkside? Yeah.
These are all things that the engineering department has certain regulations about drainage and everything else we have to address. We need to draw people's attention with the danger. I'm sure the engineering department looks at it because it flows. On-site.
Okay, Chair, I'll entertain a motion then that we direct staff to send these questions to Mr. Lloyd so that he may prepare for the next meeting. He's gonna maybe come, right?
Yeah, and I'll convey these questions to the county planning department requested that the information be signed. That's what we get on to that.
Do I have a motion?
I so move.
Motion by Director Fairbanks. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Director Fairbanks and second by Director Blair. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Okay, item number five is regarding supplemental water. Mr. Jones.
Now, Mr. President, the board in the last number of meetings has been discussing the aspect of supplemental water and a poppy valve installed on the coastal branch of the state water project, which is going right through the middle of our distribution system, basically down Thompson Avenue. Inquiring with the Coastal Commission, estimating what their construction schedule is, they indicated they feel it to be down here in December and probably completed with their construction by the end of January. The thought was if we could get some type of approval through a mail ballot election or something like that, we would meet the schedule, the construction schedule, and if we're successful and have the Flexible District give us approval, have a valve installed during construction. But the timetable is such is that they will probably be through the district distribution system and the area that will be backfilled and paved before we probably could get approval through an election and going through the flood control district. With that thought in mind, it might be prudent to put an election off to the general election, which there'd be saving approximately $5,000. In the meantime, get the information out what the district's trying to do and the pros and cons of that concept.
You're talking November of 96 then?
That's correct. The project, I think, they're planning to put it online probably in the spring or summer of 97. I think anticipated, depending on the plant, how it goes, depending on construction delays and a number of other things, if all goes well, they would probably start testing the line probably the end of the year. And the aspect loading the line up, running some flow tests and everything else. But before coming into full operation, it would be possible to come in and shut a section down and put a valve on and before they go into full operation.
Okay, so but even though you're expecting online in spring of 96, like your memo says, you don't expect full flows until some months after that.
Right. And here again, this is all speculation depending on construction schedule delays and whatever thing.
Okay. I kind of pray for the delay, save a little money.
And one other thing, too, politically, there's an election coming up Wednesday. There's two board members that are up for election, depending on how the election turns out, is how to approach the flood control district of the question.
Where's that? What, next Wednesday? First Wednesday of March?
On November, yeah.
Did you get that information I gave you about the pipeline? About the welling?
Yeah, the welling on both sides. I have no information.
That's just what I heard, and that kind of, for your information, anybody's information, a friend of mine had a welding on the pipe, and evidently the state pipeline all the way down to Arroyo Grande is welded on the inside and the outside. But for some reason, the contract from Arroyo Grande South, it's only welded on the inside.
Yeah. I don't.
And I don't know too much about it either, but they seem to think that moisture would have a tendency to get into it through the outside place that isn't welded, and that's kind of neat if it's going underneath our soil.
It's unconceivable that would happen.
That's true, but stuff that's kind of percolating down out of our zircon, seeing how it's going under right under one of our ponds, makes one kind of wonder.
They have to meet certain standards, and it's going to meet the standards.
But why would they change the standards halfway down the middle? I
don't know if they have.
I don't know either, but that's all I'm talking to is the people who are actually crawling up in the pipe with a welding stick and welding it. They're saying now that they're not welding both sides.
There's a lining of concrete in there. That's what we're right here. The steel itself will rust away right away. The concrete will hold it.
And they have to dodge the difference.
I'm just curious why you're an engineer. I just wondered why they weren't welding both sides.
They probably will. The only thing I can do, and I'm not doubting your source or anything else, but when we had the sewer project when it first came on, people believed what was over the back fence and the documents sitting on the table. I would suspect the documents sitting on the table probably said that the wells are adequate. If that's even halfway true, the pipe size changes in Arroyo Grande because of
smaller pipe?
smaller pipe down here, maybe only one well was needed.
Maybe that's what it is.
But that's just speculation. It has to meet the requirements for its constraints and everything else.
Okay, so we're looking at now possibly we're considering general election for this.
It's a suggestion.
I think we're in sort of a wait and see mode right now, especially regarding the election that's coming up.
You know, it's a suggestion, a possible one. Even if it's approved and you go through and get the line, then you have to start negotiating other people for water. It's where the, you know, the chicken or the egg comes in.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, you have to dig it back up. The cost of election cost saving would be probably more than needed to dig up the pipe.
Yeah.
But you know, the tap would expense, the tap would go up.
We need time to make these arguments and have these meetings in public anyway.
Well, yeah, and I think like anytime you try and rush something through, people get suspicious.
I like the idea of the consolidation with the general election whenever possible.
You have more turnout, too.
Cost us less than, what, $2,000 or whatever?
About $2,000.
Cost us over $7,000 to do a ballot, try to ballot change it.
And you probably get a better turnout.
Any public comments?
It seems ridiculous when a big, huge state water pipeline is running through the Cuomo property and we can't get it happening. I mean, what does it cost to put a 6-inch valve on a doggone thing? You know, do we have to have an election on it, or what's the cost of that?
I can answer your question.
Please.
We've got three supervisors that don't live in this area that voted against it. That's
a
very simple
thing.
It's all political. She's not county. What it is our supervisor Brackett brought it. She's not county. What it is our supervisor Brackett brought it up for a vote. Harry over okayed, second the motion, and Delaney,
Blakely,
and Laurent voted against it. And
last
they
year,
used the election we had before as a premise.
Last year we had abundance of water. We're about almost 2 inches behind already this year. The whole ecological system of the earth is out of balance because of the rainforest being destruction, right? We've got to have that water in here, I think, because our wells. We keep pumping this stuff. I got two valves myself, and I'm scared to use the damn things because I think they're going to run dry.
I'm in the same position you are, and I sympathize with you. And I go up there. I was up there fighting with those people today. One of the senior planners told me today that we weren't even, that Summit Station wasn't even part of the community service district. And she did it with a supervisor sitting right there. And she's a senior planner. She told me we didn't have water in Summit Station. She also told me that Summit Station was not part of the community service district. And I looked at Ruth Brackett and I said, tell her I'm a director and that I can guarantee you that we are part of the district. And she says, well, I don't believe it anyhow. And she's a senior planner. So that's the kind of people you're dealing with.
Well, I know the gentleman in here that talks about water. The gentleman in the blue jacket there, he has the water. Remember when the tomatoes out there were talking?
Oh, yeah.
He had a heck of a water problem, and they somehow got it going, and they got that huge tank sitting there now. But we're on the other side of the free, we don't have nothing.
Your way, you never will.
I mean, why don't we vote these people out of office, then, if they're such
Cold
in their butts or something, right? You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you, quite frankly, they think that they are like ordained by God and nobody can vote them out. That's part of it. They think that they're in there forever and nothing's ever going to change. Excuse me for being a little vocal, but I spent 2 hours going around with those people today, and I'm about half as dumb.
I think once the pipeline is starting to cover up already down at the winery down there, and once in a while you see those things sticking out, and the gentleman over there told me those are air valves or something. But we should boycott all the awkward size, no water from the Cuomo. We stop the project right here, that's it. That's the American way of doing it.
Well,
why don't we
got my vote. We're not going to tell you you can't do that.
But I think it's cheaper probably to put the valve in right now than tap into the doggone thing once it's buried, right?
Right.
You know?
It's cheaper to do it now.
Yeah. So I think that this priority, that's the only reason I attended this meeting, is because I read the article in the Sam Lewis press saying that the Cuomo is not getting any water. And I just about flipped when I read that.
Well, we're not, technically, we're not getting any state water. What we're talking about now is the potentiality of obtaining a valve whereby we can use this pipeline as a conduit to get other water.
Because we're a pretty good sized community once we get all this stuff built right here, which I don't like. You know.
And state water was sold already, has been sold and spoken for.
And then, of course, Fulgiano is not saying we have to share all this. I didn't want to come to somebody else now, right? All right. Okay, well, I'm
going to
get off the
box,
but what are we
going
to do?
You two should definitely have coffee, though.
There
you go. I'm on your side, believe me.
It doesn't seem right that, like you said, those guys think they're ordained or something, right? It doesn't mean nothing to Mark.
They very well do.
You know?
We echo a lot of your sentiments there.
Yeah. Well, it still doesn't answer my problem. It doesn't answer my question, though. I mean, how are we going to really get water now? I mean, what are we as a meeting right here going to do to pursue this in a double 100 degree?
What we're trying to do is get it on the ballot, to put it on the ballot.
And by the time the ballot comes out, they'll be through already and they'll fix it up, right?
Well, so yeah, but still the possibility of getting it is better than it was. If we can get it voted in by the people, so we have some clout when we go to them and say, hey, you know, we have to have the clout.
So you're saying it has something to do with revenue, I guess, right?
No, we have to have the influence.
It has to do with political.
We need a lot of public support on this in light of the vote that occurred in 92 for non-participation in the state water project.
In other words, nobody got involved, right?
Or the wrong people.
You gotta get out there. It's my favorite saying, jump up and down.
Yeah. So we have that vote to contend with. So now we feel we need another vote to have, you know, that clout and the necessary persuasion to get our way with the county to get this emergency turnout. So at least we have it for emergency purposes only. You know, maybe we don't want to hook into it and use it all the time. But there has been a disaster.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, thank you for your comments. Are there any others on this issue? Okay, I guess there's no real board action at this point. I like the idea, as I said earlier, consolidate with the general election if we can. We got a lot of work to do between now and then anyway.
Can we make that a motion?
You might want to think about putting a subcommittee, two board members, to start putting this thing together.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that sound agreeable? Okay. Karen wants to get a motion then, along that regard. Okay, I have a motion that we have a subcommittee.
Yes.
Do I have a second?
I have a second.
Okay, a second by Director Fairbanks. Do I have volunteers to participate in the subcommittee? Oh, wait, let's vote on it. All directors in favor of establishing a subcommittee, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Okay, nobody's opposed. What about volunteers? Okay, got Mr. Blair. Okay, Mr. Simon.
There you go.
Director Blair and Simon will serve on the subcommittee. This is investigate further the feasibility of getting this on the general election and to establish somewhat of a framework, I guess, for a plan on how we're going to get this information out, the difference between state water and supplemental water and all that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you might want to go back to item number 3. Mr. Lloyd has entered the room and discussed that.
Yeah, let's do that. For the moment, we're going to go back to item number 4. That was track 1797, the Fairview track. Dan Lloyd is in attendance. Representing that subdivision, 113 lots. Did you get a copy of the memo that was circulated to us, Dan? It has some questions on it. Okay. These are some of the questions that
Doug thought of, and we added a couple more to it tonight. Do you want to field any of them, or?
Well, that's why I'm here.
Okay.
I also have some plans for the
Okay.
But we can deal with that or not.
Okay, let's start with the questions here, and then we'll see how it goes. Did what you brought there, is it similar to the drawing?
I have some of that size. I have some smaller that you simply circulate.
Okay, we've got something here that'll serve probably for our purposes tonight.
In regards to the budget
track. Right.
And this is somewhat, as you informal, but I'm very willing to respond to questions that have been raised and other questions that may be raised during the course of the conversation. Nice to see you again. It's been a long time since I've been here. Pleased to be here.
Yeah.
Would you prefer that I just simply run down the list?
Yeah, that'd be a great place to start, and then we can jump in if an ancillary question kind of pops to mind.
Good. Well, I appreciate Terry Alvin holding down here.
Quite all right.
Meeting after meeting, so I appreciate you putting me out. Item number one, how would the small lots to be developed? I think it's probably easiest to say that the whole subdivision, even though that the smallest lots are 4,500 square feet, they're essentially going to be developed with the same style of house. Save for the lots that are along the northern edge that adjoins the those right there. Those are large lots, and the ag buffer that is on those lots will be owned by the people who live there and be maintained by those residents. The large parcel that's sort of in the V between the cul-de-sac on the left, yeah, that area there, we've had discussions with the county as giving consent to that as a park. There's grading that could occur, it could become a soccer field. They could do a number of things. It could simply, and it's at this point intended to be a community facility, a park, not a derelict area. If for some reason the county does not want to maintain it, take it over and use it as a public facility, then it would remain in ownership of the Hermit until such time as perhaps the county did want to be. On the easterly side, which is adjacent to the Cavaletto property, that's a paper street that now exists. We had looked at a couple of schemes of allowing street extensions to run easterly into that zone at some point in the future, but we feel that at this point, if development would ever occur on Cavaletto property, or for the agricultural use, then we probably would improve that road extension. I can't think of the name of it right now, what's on there. And we would bring in simply short cul-de-sacs that way, probably. I think it would be the easiest way, and then end up with that being developed. For the time being, it will remain in the ownership of the Hermits that will be fenced. It will not be used for anything since it simply satisfies the buffer requirement established by the county. We have those two buffers on both sides, and I'll tell you that has been, and not only this project, but with all projects throughout the county, there's some of them interesting and sometimes difficult issues to deal with because it does create parcels that are somewhat questionable. What are you going to do with that area? We also had a plan, too, that had cul-de-sacs going out that way, and then you ended up with that property being owned by the individual property owners also. But because the houses needed to be back somewhat where we're showing there, because of the large expanse of the 300 feet of buffer, it just didn't really work out well. So we opted for leaving it, leaving it in the hands of the Hermit, not a common open space. Again, it could turn into something else, perhaps for public use, but it doesn't seem to be in a location for that. We think it's really suited for future development when it's occurred. In the meantime, it will remain probably mowed and left vacant.
What about Northeast? Is that the one you were talking about? The one that you said was going to be offered to the county?
Correct. for a park facility.
Now that wouldn't be, have you considered offering it to the residents of the area as part of an association type maintenance park area?
This is not a project that would have a homeowners association.
Okay.
It's public streets, public utilities, but again, if the community would really use it for public utilities, wanted to take it over as a community facility and sort of work in that regard.
Okay.
We think that it's isolated enough as much as it doesn't back up to residents, because of the drainage swale that comes from the northeast to the southwest, and then the road separating it from the cul-de-sac lot, that it works well and is isolated enough that it could function as a community facility just off of the road, also that it's just off the house. You wouldn't have to go far into the residential area to access it. We thought that that was probably the best location. The reason that it's even there is again because of the agricultural buffer and the swale. So the proximity of the two creates somewhat of a narrow developable area. And so we had to try to come up with a creative way of dealing with it. So our thought was, in discussions with Tim Gallagher, Parks Department of the County, there's some interest on their part, at least perhaps to develop it in the future. So, that's kind of an overview of some of those areas, but let me just go back to answering your question.
Yeah.
How are the smaller to be developed? Well, at this point, the Hermits are not builders. Their goal is to turn over the project to a builder, and the project itself will be sold, and then that comes, that owner would end up developing a form of single family dwelling. Two, three, maybe even four bedroom, smaller house to meet a price that is, according to our market demand, lower. I know what housing goes for, and you can certainly probably know about yourselves if you've been following the housing community. The only housing that is really selling is very good for it. Housing that's going to be 110 to 150 range. I know that personally from having worked in houses that were sold 145 or so. The project that I'll show you is the Harrison Hidden Pine subdivision we did in Santa Maria, just on the other side of the river. They were initially started at 110, they're 4,500 square feet. And that's the plan we can look at to see what that is. Their sales have been rather brisk since the people who originally bought it turned it back over to Midcoast Land because things aren't really working, and they really developed a marketing plan and program that we started to sell those units quite well. So these would be single-family detached housing. They would not be attached. We don't really have any parameters other than trying to make sure that the community at that price point, probably a community of young families, who there's certainly a large demand for housing. The one thing that unfortunately, the economy has brought with it is the fact that demand still is high, price becomes the issue. And the Hermits are in a position here, because they've owned this property for a long time, that you can move the product into that sort of range. You don't want prices too high, so that's kind of what we have in mind, some kind of single family detached. Who's going to be the owner of the setback area? Area is not, it also remains in the government. Probably an adjunct response to that would be, what's going to happen with the property along Thompson Road? That's going to be with the drainage swale that comes down from the northeast to the southwest, and the pipe under the road, there's a limited capacity. What we're going to do is create a large basin in the front, very shallow basin, where the water would be stored if it acted as a detention basin, so there would no more water went through than we were expected to do something through before. And that detention basin would be maintained by the county, which is that we're hoping at this time is part of the process that we're going to go through. If it wouldn't be maintained by the county, then it would be maintained by an association, probably. In which case, I would attempt to form an association. Association wanted for Pepsi One Electric Creative Park too. The more you create, the more fees you create associated with an association, the less desirable the product becomes. Actually, because they're trying to have this product make houses accessible to the community at large. So that will be a grassy area that we mow and maintain. So it will look and read as a park area and can be used as that, because it really will not be anything else but except for the period of five miles during the day. And then it will also drain and it will set up so that it will function properly and not become an eyesore. It will be fenced so that, like some of the babies that we have throughout the county for detention purposes. And that is what you would call the setback area along the front. You might look at it as a pocket park, an area where the residents could come down with kids, strollers, you know, whatever. You know, kids could play ball out there, primarily soccer. So it could be really an amenity that gets used as opposed to one that's simply neglected. The setback area is either setback area, nature, which is trashy, I think that would be good at that one quite well. Is the development going to be developed at one time in the state? It would be developed in phases. The reason being is that absorption in our county is slow. You might be able to develop it in 50 lot phases. And our phasing would be primarily directed at what is the most economical way to put in the infrastructure. So we would start down close to Thompson Road and move back into the project because it's higher at the back and lower at the front. Extend the utility up into the site. So you see the frontal area being developed first and then moving back into the rear portion of the site. So phasing has not been identified, but it's probably part of our ultimate plan. We will find a phasing plan for the ultimate development of the property. Depends on what's happening in the market. You could see more going if, in fact, we do see a turnaround somewhere towards the turn of the century. That's kind of the problem, as you all know. Things just haven't been moving. Yeah, here in Tacoma, you know, there have been some very successful projects that have moved, and we would like to think that there is still an opportunity for that. At this point, there's been interest in the property by itself. Create 6,000 square foot lots in this same basic pattern. We have played with many different designs and sites. The real determinant for how the streets end up being laid out is the topography. The way it's laid out right now, the lots are going to end up stepping on the side yard. We showed some earlier plans to Doug where we had it turned just the other way around, and then you end up with high set between the rear of one lot and the rear of the next lot. And it created a situation where you ended up losing way too much land area, creating way too much grade, and it just didn't respond to the lemon form. So what we have created here is a situation where we can minimize costs for constructing the lots. And of course, that has a lot to do with what